Welcome to Manager Tools. 0 week. This cast answers these questions. How can I communicate changes to my team? How can I help my directs get ready for upcoming responsibilities? How can I help myself start new projects? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Folks, I'm excited to announce that there are still places in the world where we can do in-person training. And one of those places is Silicon Valley. I will be presenting 3 days worth of training in Silicon Valley next month in March, March 23, 24, and 25. First day, unusual for us, effective hiring manager conference. And I would encourage you to get interested in that one quickly if you can. It's starting to sell out. And then followed by the effective manager conference. And on the last day, my favorite day of training to deliver, the effective communicator conference. 3 days in person. And we encourage you to come to the website and sign up. See you there.
Okay. Really, before I read the show notes, I was confused because I've been invited to meetings before called Zero Week. And I thought, because pretty much I'm a zero and week. So, I took it very good. Personally. Took it very personally.
Well, welcome to Zero Week, population you.
Exactly. Oh, my Lord. So tell
by
me.
The way, before I get started, I have to say I'm sure that many longtime listeners are listening, and please don't write me and tell me that you just heard coffee pouring. Every once in a while, I get emails from people saying, you know, I wish you wouldn't make this noise, or, you know, I heard you drinking coffee or whatever. It is now almost 11:30 Pacific time on a Friday, and I have been on the phone nonstop, save for bathroom breaks, since 5:30 this morning, 6 hours. If I don't drink something, which does, by the way, increase bathroom visits, I won't be able to do the podcast. So sorry. There was probably some background pouring noise. I apologize for that. I was pouring from my stainless steel coffee carafe that I have to have a coffee maker that makes into stainless steel so that I could put it right on my desk rather than having something that needs to be heated. And I was pouring into my stainless steel Yeti cup that was a gift from my daughter Kate and my son Drake. Has Mark on one side and Stay Frosty on the other.
Oh, very nice.
There you go.
Yeah. Very nice. And since you're a high eye, they put the side that said Mark facing you, right?
Actually, it's weird. Well, I drink coffee right-handed. And it's actually away from me.
Okay.
Stay Frosty is toward me.
That makes absolute weird. Sense, but just so non-high eye-like. So, okay, we've broken our rule of trying to get right to things.
So. Yeah, let's get right to it. So, 0 week, what does 0 week mean? Look, everybody has a first week, right? Start of a project, we're doing first week. Well, I mean, for years, me and many, many folks at Procter & Gamble and other places have talked about 0 week, the week before you start. And one of the things I've learned over the years is your preparation for the week before should include your team. The problem is the moment you say preparation, people think, oh, that means work. No. Yeah, you have work, okay, to get ready for your presentation that you're going to give the following week, but you might as well pre-announce things. So for any project or initiative that you're starting, announce it to your team even before you start. And so you announce it during 0 week. And look, the high op tempo world we're all living in, we just had weekly operations meeting this morning. It's never been higher, right? I mean, we created a bunch of new products. We have existing products to serve. We have listener growth. We have client growth. We have public conference growth. And what that does is it causes managers to get away from the basic blocking and tackling to start new ideas, to implement things. Now, you might choose to implement less because my folks are swamped, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But our point is, if you're going to start something, you ought to do it well. Speed is good, and we actually believe speed is one of the most unsung competitive advantages there are in the world. It's one of the reasons why small companies are allowed to grow and why people don't like big companies, because they lose their ability to have speed because there's so many parts to get in alignment. So speed is good. like it or not, in the long run, communication and alignment and better choices because you've been communicating are pretty darn important too. And 0 week just gives you the chance to do that. That's all.
Awesome. Nothing fancy. So what's the outline? What are the pieces?
Yeah. There? So you, first of all, it's simple. It's short cast. You announce new efforts, new projects, new programs, new initiatives, new metrics, whatever, during 0 week before you start using them. Okay. You don't plan deliverables for anybody else other than for you for 0 week. And the purpose of this is to get your team thinking and communicating about what's coming up. And I promise you, I know there's already been some small brains. Sorry, I don't mean to suggest your brain is small, but a small number of brains out there that are blowing up right now. I mean, saying, oh, no, I can't do that because they're just going to think negative thoughts. Well, I promise we'll address that. It's not as big a problem as you think.
Okay, cool. So let's start. Let's talk about announcing new efforts during 0 week, which, and I guess the key point is before you start the project, right? That's the key.
Yeah. 0 week is just what happens before you announce things, right? It's before you have a meeting with your team and say, okay, guys, we're going to start doing one-on-ones. I'm suggesting 0 week would be the week before you say, next week, I'm going to brief you on one-on-ones. Here's a deck. You're welcome to look at it. There's nothing for you to do. I just want you thinking about it. I want you considering it. I'm happy to have input and so on. And you're committing essentially a week earlier. There's no way. It's not no way, but it's rare that something happens on Tuesday and you have to change everything you do by Wednesday. When people tell me that, I start asking questions. I'm like, no, that's not really. You're not really actually. You've known about this for several weeks, and then they finally made the decision.
Therein lies the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, guys, we've said before that being a manager gives you the ability to speak for the entire company to your team. And one of my frustrations over the last 25 years has been most managers don't understand that what that means is for the processes and systems that you control on your team, those processes and systems which you invented, which you modify, which don't require some board somewhere to approve, and there are roles like that, but most are not, those processes and systems that you created are created with the power of the CEO of the company. You have the same ability to build the team you want to build and use the processes and systems within certain corporate culture norms and so on. You have the same ability to do that to your team as the CEO does to her company. That's what rule power is. People don't get that. So then, okay, fine. You're running your team. Ask yourself something, guys. Do you like it when your boss or her boss drops something on you this week or even today and says, now it's your top priority? Hey, sorry, this is everything, right? Do you like it when work gets dropped on your desk at 4 p.m. with a note that says it has to be done tomorrow? I'm not talking about a project or a system or a process or an initiative. I'm just talking about a task. And the answer is, of course you don't like it. Like, you know, it's stupid. And I promise you, if your boss is giving it to you, she's known about it longer than handing it to you. She has. And even if you trust her, she has. Now, look, a big reason why this happens, and you should know, if you want to avoid doing this with your directs, you need to start following our guidance in what is known as the one-third planning rule. It's not just our guidance. It's widely accepted in large organizations. And I'll leave that. That'll take 5 minutes to explain, so I'll leave that for our podcast called the one-third planning rule. But you don't like it when people do that to you. Wouldn't you rather your boss said, hey, I want to give you a heads up? In fact, I know a guy, a really good guy who lives in Connecticut. He's a hedge fund guy. He says, I don't call it 0 week. I don't, he, you and he would probably agree, Mike. He says, I call it heads up week. I don't do anything to my team ever that I don't give them a heads up week, in 1 week in advance, unless it's a crisis, unless the building's burning down, unless a pandemic, unless we were just told you can't leave your office. Like University of Massachusetts Amherst just told all of its students, you can't leave your room except to go to the bathroom. And if you want exercise on your way to getting food. I'm not kidding. That's a pretty accurate translation of what was said. So you know, we're not talking about those kinds of pandemic or crisis or existential moments. The vast majority of stuff, you have a heads up week and you tell them, hey, next week, I'm going to brief you. I just want you thinking about stuff like that. And you'll be a smarter listener. You'll be a better listener. You'll be a more informed listener. You don't have to do a thing. Just think about it. Talk to each other. Maybe you'll discover something I didn't know. Okay. He calls it heads up week. Many of my colleagues at Proctor and elsewhere call it zero week.
Yeah, I'm siding with him. Yeah, just
okay.
Just
thank so you. Know. You want to change the podcast name? We've only changed one podcast title in our entire history. If you want to make it about this one, just because of your personal preference, it's fine. You know, we can call it Heads Up Week. Of course, there are jokes about Heads Up Week too, but
yeah, I learned
some other.
Yeah, time. Don't put effectiveness ahead of personal preferences. I think I heard that before.
Ooh, somewhere. That is so good. I like the way you worked that in. Don't put personal preferences ahead of effectiveness. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. That may be the distillation of professionalism, isn't it? Right?
Yeah, I think it is. I often tell friends my biggest accomplishment over the last 15 years, 20 years has been, to some degree, I'm not perfect, but is getting away from ego. And that's personal preference, all about ego at some level.
Yeah, there's two things that have really helped me with that. I got to tell you, I couldn't agree with you more, I feel. And part of it is the burden of being an owner, right? You and I are the owners. The two things come at it from a completely different perspective. One is Drucker. Everything comes back to Drucker. And if you don't think everything comes back to Drucker, you haven't read him yet. But Drucker says the executive must do what the executive is required to do, right? It's as simple as that. You don't get to choose.
That's right.
Your job is given to you, and there's clarity around what your responsibilities are. There's no, you don't get to indulge yourself. You get to do your duty. The second thing, interestingly, is I'm sure you know about it, the whole move towards stoicism as a way of life. And the book, The Obstacle is the Way, I highly recommend in terms of getting used to ego, setting ego aside, focusing on what's my work, what's my duty, what's my responsibility. As Robert E. Lee said, do your duty in all things. You cannot do more. You should not wish to do less. Right? That's also the same quote that he said, this duty is the sublimest word in the English language. Which I don't think actually sublimist is a word, but when Robert E. Lee puts it in a quote like
it's
that.
It's a word. It's a word works. Now.
It's a word now. My gosh. It sure is. Anyway, sorry. So we're going to call it Zero Week because Mike has allowed me to keep the title. So week one is the first week you and your team work on stuff. So Zero Week is the stuff they're not working on stuff. But again, there's a difference between work and thinking. Now, for a long-time community members and listeners, you know this is a form of an extension of our guidance. Never introduce a change to how you manage your team without first introducing that change to your team before you make it. Remember, guys, when you're doing something new, you almost always have a head start on your team. You do. You don't realize it, but you do. You've been thinking about it longer. You've been dealing with the potential negatives and trying to craft solutions to them, or realizing they're not as big a deal, or you don't care. It is a negative, but it's so small compared to the larger positive that you're willing to go forward. Even if you brief your team in week one, you will have been thinking about things that are relevant beforehand. You will be smarter. And because it's you that has the power to do it, and they are underneath your power, the fact that you're doing it and you've thought about it and you're positive about it doesn't change the fact that in every single situation like this, your role power and the newness to them adds a modicum, a pinch, a dash of fear to it. Because they know you know stuff they don't know, and they don't know what you know. That's part of the problem with communication generally. And look, as a general rule, and there certainly are exceptions, I can think of several, it's best in terms of making an announcement about something in Zero Week is to do it to the whole team. I don't understand why people, Mike, you've probably heard me get asked this at conferences, but I get this all the time. Well, why wouldn't I do that in a one-on-one? Well, first of all, you don't want the person who you're telling in a one-on-one to wonder if anybody else is going to hear this. You also don't want them to ask a question that somebody else is going to ask and you're going to have to answer it twice. You also don't want them to ask a question that nobody else hears, so they don't learn from your answer. And so there are times, I don't know why, but people don't seem to get, maybe it's just until they do one-on-ones, they don't understand that a one-on-one is designed to improve a relationship with an individual, and a staff meeting has nothing to do with that.
Right, you're right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But as a general rule, you'd want to do this in your staff meeting. If you have a morning stand-up, you could do it in a morning stand-up. That'd be a great opportunity to do a zero-week announcement. Hey, folks, by the way, next week in staff, I'm going to be briefing you on one-on-ones or feedback, or it could be something completely different, like a change in metrics that the boss has been working on. And I just want you thinking about that stuff, and I want you to come. You don't have to prepare anything, but I want you to have thought about it, talk about it, and so on. And if you have questions, come ask me, and I'll be happy to do my best.
You know, going back to your comment about doing a staff meeting, I can't tell you how many times I've said something to somebody that in my head is clearly public information.
Yes.
And then I find from one of this person's peers, they come to me and say, hey, John told me about X. I've known about it for 2 weeks. I didn't think I could talk to you about it because I thought he told me in confidence because he heard it from you. It's like,
what?
It's like, what? Because it was told to him, to John. Mary didn't realize that it was public information, nor did John. John made the assumption that, hey, I don't know if you know, but the boss told me.
So your point is, in fact, John may be attempting to exert his privilege over, but my point is that he adds to the general logistical frustration of trying to brief everybody individually in a one-on-one. He assumes to his own benefit and stature that everything told to him in a one-on-one is private. That's what you're saying. In fact, it's not.
Yeah, people do that. In this particular case,
bizarro.
He was trying to impress Mary.
Yeah.
Now, I've changed the names, and I'll tell you after the call the person's real name. Then you go like, oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. That's good to know. That's really good.
Yeah, crazy.
And by the way, this is another reason, this little side note we're having here, guys, is another reason why staff meetings are de rigueur in large organizations. You just don't. You're not a modern professional manager unless you have a weekly staff meeting with your staff. Sorry. Everyone hears everyone else's questions. No one has any question whether anybody else knows, to Mike's point about John and Mary. Everybody knows everybody's questions. Everybody knows it's public information. Dialogue can occur. Cross-pollination. Better ideas emerge. Mm-hmm. You want to do that. Do not try to force things on people who are different than you by saying no changes can be made. There are hard and fast rules, but the vast majority of hard and fast rules are not made with announcements. So think about this, using it for one-on-ones, for rolling out one-on-ones and feedback. A week before the formal briefing, let everyone know there'll be time in your next staff meeting for your briefing. You only need 15 minutes, guys. Feel free to send out slides at this time if you want. Gives folks time to read them. Look, if you give them to them the night before, as opposed to a week before, they might make the case. It's a BS case, but they might be able to make the case. I didn't have time to look at them. I don't know. I don't know why people continue to act as if mail from their boss is not something that's important, as opposed to just any other mail. Oh, I had 85 mails this morning, so I can't really tell. Dude, grow up, be an adult, sort your mail by priority. And one of the first priority is boss, right? No question. But look, if you send it out a week in advance, nobody can say, I didn't have time to look at it. In fact, somebody who says that in the meeting just makes himself look stupid. And that's always good to know if somebody's going to be stupid around something like this. Some managers then say, and I mentioned this at the top of the show, well, I don't need people getting more time to come up with all kinds of reasons why they don't like my idea, right? I don't want to make the pessimists. I don't want those people to to have more time to marshal their ideas. I would tell you, folks, that's scarcity world thinking, and it's pessimistic, and you're never going to grow your team's trust and performance by always dumbing down your approach to your non-believers. If you want to lead a team, and leading is messy. It's not visionary, pretty, sexy. People make it out to be, but it's not. It's hard work, and it's in the trenches. That's what leading is. Mike, by the way, I'm rereading Execution for the third time now, and it's great. Every bit as good. Oh, my God. It's just so good, so gritty. I mean, this is a CEO of a $10, $20 billion company? He's talking about being down in the trenches. And, by the way, for those of you pessimists out there, not micromanaging, because everybody's definition of micromanaging is nut job crazy town. But, hey, that's just me. Look, guys, if you always say to yourself, I got to be concerned about my weaker performers. I got to be concerned about the naysayers. No, you don't. Lead the team to your top people. Drag the other ones behind. Yeah, coach them if you have to. Absolutely. And encourage them and wish them well and love them the way you love everybody else. But don't lead your team based on the slowest person on the team. Even though we love the book, The Goal, people on a team are not a bottleneck in a production resource that everything should be built around. That's not how you lead a team. And one of my favorite podcasts and analogies is the org chart analogy, that when you're leading, when you're making a new initiative, you've got three groups relative to the org chart that you're pulling along the tracks or along the dirt. There's the group that's helping you pull. There's a group that's sitting in the org chart just along for the ride. And then there's a group who's working against you that are pulling against the org chart. If you spend your time trying to convert the people who are not helping or in the org chart, in other words, you worry about your naysayers and your low performers and so on, not saying you can't spend time with them, not saying you shouldn't try to help them improve, but if that's where your focus is all the time and you never do anything that they could make a big deal out of as a negative, you'll lose your best people. You'll absolutely lose your best people. The whole example of the org chart is for you to, your goal is to keep the people who are pulling against you away from the people in the org chart. Because you don't want the people in the org chart to join the people who are working against you. And then for there to be more people pulling against you than there are pulling for you. But that doesn't mean that what you should do is keep things secret to the last minute for fear that the people who are working against you will somehow convert the people in the middle. And you know who those people are who are working against you. And it's okay for them to say, I disagree about this. But it's not okay for them to go to one of their colleagues and say, here's what I think I want you to say. Here's why this won't work. I want you to join me in my quest. Because that's unethical. It's just unethical. People don't realize that, but that's what it is. It's our best performers we want to focus on. Those who are supportive of our ideas generally. We want them to have more ammunition to get behind our ideas and to skirmish with the people who are against our ideas. We want to arm them. We want to hear their questions and their suggestions. I got to tell you guys, I think there's entirely too much playing to the crowd approach in modern management today. I read things like, make sure everyone is on board. That's the wrong approach. Directs don't get a veto over ideas you're planning to roll out. This is one place where inclusiveness goes too far. There are people who, I've read it in the Journal and the Harvard Business Review, that this person, he didn't feel included in the whole feelings thing. Oh my gosh, but he didn't feel included, so therefore the manager is at fault. No, the manager did seven things to try to get people on board. And this person's just stubborn and a pain, and they're not a team player, and they're complaining all the time. And the definition of inclusion or alignment is not everyone agrees that they are in alignment, because all that does is give veto power over the, if you'll pardon the expression, consensus that the manager is trying to reach. And some people wield that power unmercifully. and unprofessionally, and often to the joy of HR. Look, it's hogwash to say, oh, I didn't feel included, or I don't like this idea, so I'm not going to play. This isn't a democracy. It's not. I'm happy to hear suggestions for how I can make it better. I'm not happy to hear that you're trying to torpedo the idea entirely.
Exactly.
Look, another way to think about handling objections is the horseman middleman test. I love this one. When I tell people it, it takes them a minute. And then when they finally get it, they're like, oh yeah, that is good. And I think I said this third show. If your boss said she was going to start a new process and gave you a week's notice to think about it. Hey, look, I'm going to announce this process. I'll just give you a high level now. Take a look. And then we'll get into the details next week. Would you think about yourself now, folks, if you're listening, and think about your boss. And your boss said she was going to do something. She's already come to the decision. She'd like input, but the general direction is already set. Would you sit around for a whole week thinking of ways to derail it? No, you wouldn't. If you wouldn't do it to your boss, this is one of the tenets of Horseman Middleman Test. If you wouldn't do it to your boss, you don't have to tolerate it from your directs. And by the way, this isn't about role power. This is about team play and being willing to make things better. Now, look, you don't need to take a bunch of questions in your 0 week announcement. Okay. You don't want to start the process now of, oh, we're going to skirmish on this. That can wait until next week. And look, if you get questions designed to challenge or diminish or dismiss your idea, just tell them, folks, we haven't even done it yet. This isn't the time to start making your case for why something we haven't even done yet won't work. And please don't tell me you tried that before. Okay, it's enough different than what you guys have tried before that it's worth trying again. The fact that we've tried it before indicates the problem still exists. And look, all the naysayers will say, you know, whether they bring these concerns up during 0 week or during week one, they always say, oh, I'm just trying to make things better. And in fact, some are, but in our experience, the vast majority of time, they're actually not. That's just a lame cover, like the phrase, I was just saying. Yeah, whatever follows that is almost always insipid, slithery.
I think the great thing about 0 week is, let's take the positive, the other side of the coin, which is it gives people time to think about
to let it settle in before
spouting off like I'm want to do at the very beginning without having thought it through clearly, right?
So. Yeah, and there are people that don't like change. And if you're a high S or a high C, you want time to think about it. So this is for you as well. Look, if people are saying, I'm just trying to make things better, say, look, guys, there's no perfection on this earth. No idea is perfect. Definitely not this one. But it's still, sorry guys, it's still not professional or team spirit to only point out what you don't like about new ideas before you even heard the full story. So take a look at whatever I send out, come up with some questions, ask me individually, or ideally come to the briefing next week and next week's staff meeting and ask your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. And again, no perfection.
Could you announce this thing during 0 week? Could you do it by email?
I knew you were going to... Yeah, so you could. You could. I've done it. Yeah. Yeah. So you could. It's not as effective as a group verbal briefing. Even a group briefing over Zoom is better. The downside of email is not everybody will respond. So you'll wonder what people are thinking. Some will respond with questions individually rather than replying to all. So now you may feel the need to respond to them. And I've actually done it where I sent a note. Somebody replied to me individually, and I wrote back to everybody in the team and said, hey, I got a good note from John. Here's my answer. Here's his question, his answer. And he came up later and says, well, I didn't want anyone to know I asked that question. I'm just like, you know, I'm sorry. You don't, I don't know. That level of confidentiality is like, to me, it's counter to the concept of the organization. The other thing, too, is a longish or a multi-part question or something like that, that takes a long time to answer by email. So don't be afraid to say, you know what, that's a long, hey, it's a good question. I'm happy to answer it, but why don't you come by the office sometime in the next couple of days? Look, for all the efficiencies of email, and I would argue the biggest efficiency of email is asynchronicity. It actually takes longer to say things in email than it does in person because you have to type. Email is, when you think about it, a terrible medium for the types of questions we would get when somebody's trying to figure out what's going to happen at the beginning of things, when things are unclear, a little bit vague, a little bit uncertain. And again, it'll take you a heck of a lot longer to reply to something in an email because you have to type it out. And you don't get to take 30 minutes to draft an email that you could have delivered in 3 minutes verbally and then complain about how busy you are or say you have too much mail. You're doing it wrong. And you're supposed to be smart enough to make choices about the communication media you're engaging with someone on. And you're not supposed to use email for stuff like that. And if you find yourself doing that, you're making a selfish choice that essentially is wasting company time. And you don't get to do that. Well, actually, you do get to do it, but it's to your detriment in the long run. So look, the other thing you do is tell them, hey, thanks for the question. I'll answer it in our next one-on-one. If you're not doing manager tools one-on-ones, I mean, hello. But if you aren't, tell them to stop by your office and you'll address it. You'll find that some of them won't even stop by, probably showing they really don't want an answer. They just want to, you know, kibitz. They want to argue. They want to fence with you. They just want to slow down your ore cart, really. And if nothing else, you could answer the question that was put to you. I'd love it. If I got something from one of my naysayers and I said, you know what, that'll take me 2 or 3 minutes to explain. It's faster if I just do it verbally. Stop by when you get a minute and I'll answer that.
Makes sense.
And when they don't come by all week, after I give my briefing, I say, now I've gotten some questions during this time. John here asked a question. I asked him, it was a fairly long answer. And so I asked him to come by so I wouldn't have to type it. He never came by. So John, I don't know if this is important to you or not, but I'm going to answer it. And I've just sort of zinged John a little bit. I'm okay with that.
Well, I appreciate your complete and thorough analysis and answer to my suggestion of doing it via email. So I just,
dude, you know how I got that way? I'm just by doing it by email and by doing it not by email.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care. Well, I won't do an email. I'm just gonna.
You tweeted. There you go. Oh, you upped the ante there, big guy. I'll
put it on MySpace.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh yeah. Folks, if your company is thinking about hiring us to come in and do some training, either in Zoom or in person, maybe later in the year, I will mention something about Zoom that may make it worthwhile. Thanks to the pricing situation, and actually this is true for in-person as well, because our client training cost for a day of training is $15,000, it only takes 15 client managers to cause it to be break-even relative to sending those managers out to their own either remote or Zoom-based or in-person public conferences. We get that question a lot. We allow up to 30 managers in a client event, and the price is only $15,000. So you literally cut the price in half. And that generally holds whether we're doing Zoom or in person. So I recommend you take a look at that. Maybe let your HR folks know or your boss who's considering bringing us in for some training.
So what do you mean don't plan deliverables for 0 week? I assume you're not talking about the manager. You're talking about deliverables
Others. Yeah. Yeah, the whole idea of a pre-announcement or just giving people a chance to get comfortable with things for the half of the world that need time to get comfortable with things and to think things through or to talk things through with their colleagues, the whole point of it is not to create work, because if you're creating work, then the policy is already implemented after a fashion, right? So when you're announcing, essentially, if you pardon the expression, when you're announcing that you're going to make an announcement, when you're announcing that you're going to start something in the future, that's not time to ladle out deliverables. The idea behind 0 week is to give your team advance notice, not advance work. Again, we have guidance related to this, something called use a warning order. That's the name of the podcast. We want to let people know something's coming. Again, all you have to do is put yourself in the middle. Isn't that what you'd want from your boss if the roles were reversed? And of course you would. And so that's why we do it. By the way, a little tip of the hat to coming executive tools. And for those of you who are directors, a 0 week announcement is really helpful if you're a director, or if you don't think of yourself as a director, but any of your directs have directs of their own. Maybe you're a manager, they're a supervisor. But in other words, you have skips. Your directs with directs need more time to consider the impact, not just on themselves and their workflows and their processes, but on their team's workflows and processes and metrics and systems and so on. Wouldn't it be great if you were a manager and your boss, obviously a director by definition, because you have directs and she's your boss, gave you an advance notice of some new plan or project or initiative? Wouldn't you appreciate the chance to consider its impact on your team? Yes, you would.
Yes, I would.
And you would probably brief them and say, hey, by the way, boss told me something new's coming next week. I want to let you know. I may come down into our staff meeting, have a couple of high velocity things. I'll do my best, but I just want to let you know. Yeah, it's simple, really. Now, last point that I'll make before summing up. Guys, ask your team. Tell your team, you choose your verb, to think and communicate. The whole idea of a 0 week announcement is to help your team start thinking about the idea. It reduces the knee-jerk responses that are caused by people's legitimate fear of change. Right? It lets folks get used to the new idea. And they're able to be used to it without having new work, which they will be mad at if they have to do work, but they haven't bought into the idea
yet. That's a great point. Time to think without being worried about the work.
That's the problem. And then what happens to the quality of work when they're ticked off about not understanding it? Yeah, the quality of work is bad. Yeah. Yeah. One of the reasons new ideas get pushed back frequently is because of the immediacy of the new work. And so that bleeds over into the quality of the work. And all we have to do is give them a little heads up. Encourage your team. So encourage your team to talk about the idea, guys. Encourage them to share ideas with one another. I encourage you, talk to people, talk to each other. You have ideas. That's good. Share them with me too. And yeah, the naysayers might be in there too, you know, but you know who those people are. And when somebody says, hey, somebody told me X, well, no offense, dude, but was it John or Bill or Terry? Yeah. I don't want to say who, but yeah, it was. Okay. Well, they're kind of being jerks. And they're kind of usually jerks, and I'm working with them on that. But do you think their purpose is to educate you, or is their purpose to torpedo my idea? Oh, it's probably to torpedo your idea. Yeah, okay, so ignore it. And by the way, I won't mention you, but I'll take care of it, right? And look, we also have to think positive. Your best people will have a chance during this week to say they agree with it and they like that. Give them a chance too. Okay, tell them privately to stand up for your idea and to come to the first week announcement or week one announcement ready to support it. Let's not run our teams like we're beholden to the most resistant part of the team. You're never going to win trying to satisfy your complainers.
Yeah, it's so not. True. So yeah. True. So true.
It's not. I don't know. What will Bob think? You know what? That's disrespectful for the other 9 people on the team. That's what it is. Yeah. Okay. So let me summarize because I've ran along here. Guys, before you start something new, make a 0 week announcement. Don't task anybody. Just tell them that next week you'll brief them more fully. Tell them you wanted them to know what was coming because you don't like surprises and you assume they don't like surprises. And you do like it when you get advance notice. Tell them to think about it and bring their thoughts and questions to the briefing.
Awesome.
It's not rocket science.
All right, my friend. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks, partner.
All right, man.
See ya.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. So long.